Welcome to the Songs and Stories of Canada. This program is called Fishing East and West. Those seagulls are following us.
Yeah, they follow all the boats and ferries out here. There's hundreds of them up there.
We're on a fish boat in the Strait of Georgia, heading out from Vancouver Harbor.
And tell them whose boat you're on too, eh?
Right. We're on Judy O'Hara's boat, and she's taking us up to Pender Harbor.
I'll take you up to see George. He's an old friend of mine, fishes for salmon, same as me. He knows more songs and history than the two of you could remember together. He's not from here, though. He's an East Coaster, used to fish for cod and lobster. His family was fishing off Newfoundland for years and years. Oh, did you ever hear of any Newfoundland songs?
Yeah, we know quite a few. Rico, which one would you like to do?
Oh, how about Eyes the Bay? That's about the cod fishery up in Newfoundland.
Okay.
And I's the bye that sails her. I's the bye that catches a fish and takes them home to Lizer.
Hip your partner Sally to Bow, hip your partner Sally Brown, Fogle, Twillingate, Morton's Harbor, all around the circle.
Sods and rinds to cover your flake, cake and tea for supper, codfish in the spring of the year, fried in maggoty butter.
Hip your partner Sally to Bow, hip your partner Sally Brown, home at Twillingate, Morton's Harbor, all around the circle.
I don't want your maggoty fish, that's no good for winter. I could buy as good as that down in Bonavista.
Hip your partner Sally to Bow, hip your partner Sally Brown, home at Twillingate, Morton's Harbor, all around the circle.
I took Lizer to a dance in faith that she could travel, and every step that she did take was up to her knees in gravel.
Hip your partner Sally to Bow, hip your partner Sally Brown, Bow the Twillingate, Morton's Harbor, all around the circle.
Susan White, she's out of sight, her petticoat wants a border. Old Sam Oliver in the dark, he kissed her in the corner.
Hip your partner Sally to Bow, hip your partner Sally Brown, over Twillingate, Morton's Harbor, all around the circle. Hip your partner Sally to Bow, hip your partner Sally Brown, over Twillingate, Morton's Harbor, all around the circle.
Hi, Georgie, old son of a gun, hop on board.
Hello yourself. How you doing?
I'd like you to meet a couple of friends of mine. John and Rika from Vancouver. Want to hear something about fishing.
Oh, well, welcome to Pender Harbor, the two of you. The boat looks pretty nice, Judy. You've been fixing her up, eh? Say, wasn't she brown the last time I saw her?
Yeah, I scraped the hull a couple of months ago and repainted her. I like her better green.
Just like Lukey's boat, eh?
You know that song?
Yeah, of course they do. John and Rika know a lot of songs.
You do, eh? Well, give us Lukey's boat.
Coming up.
Oh, Lukey's boat was painted green.
Aha, me boys.
Lukey's boat was painted green, the prettiest boat that ever was seen.
Aha, me diddle I day.
Lukey's boat got a fine four cuddy.
Aha, me boys.
Lukey's boat got a fine four cuddy, and every seam was chinked with putty.
Aha, me diddle I day.
Lukey's boat got a high stop jib.
Aha, me boys.
Lukey's boat got a high stop jib and a patent block to a foremast head.
Aha, me diddle I day.
I think, says Lukey, I'll make her bigger.
Aha, me boys.
I think, says Lukey, I'll make her bigger, load her down one claw jigger. Aha, me diddle I day. And now, says Lukey, get aboard your grub.
Aha, me boys.
And now, says Lukey, get aboard your grub. One split pea in a 10-pound tub.
Aha, me diddle I day.
Lukey, he sailed up the shore.
Aha, me boys.
Lukey, he sailed up the shore to get some fish from Labrador.
Aha, me diddle I day.
Lukey, he looked round and round.
Aha, me boys.
Lukey, he looked round and round. Me wife is dead and the blinds are down.
Aha, me diddle I day.
Wahoo, says Lukey, I don't care.
Aha, me boys.
Wahoo, says Lukey, I don't care. Get me another in the fall of the year.
Aha, me diddle I day.
There's a heavy fog sitting in there along the islands.
Is it safe to sail through the fog?
Oh, yeah, but careful. There's rocks all around. That's why there's a lighthouse, right on the end of the pass. You can't see it now, but you can hear it. Mrs. Brown's up there running it. It's really nice to know she's always there. She's been there as long as I can remember.
Years I've been here. Ever since I was a little girl, when my father ran the light. It's got so I can tell whatever kind of boat is coming through the pass just by the sound. That's a little gillnetter out there. I can recognize the sound of the engine, even if I can't see it. That foghorn's such a blessing. So many boats used to smash up on the rocks in the fog because they couldn't see the lighthouse light. I can hear the horn. Oh, 4 or 5 miles away. In the early days, there was no foghorn here. My dad used to go down to the point with a 4-gallon oil can and hit it with a stick to warn the boats from coming too near to the rocks. Sometimes the boats would use their own foghorns, too. They'd blow a blast and see if they could hear an echo. If they did, it meant they were too close to shore. I remember one ferry down on Puget Sound tried that trick once too often. A farmer had left his cow out, and every time the ferry's captain blew the ship's foghorn, the cow would moo in reply. Of course, the captain heard the cow, but thought it was the echo of his horn. So the ferry ran aground on the other side of the pass. Just goes to show, don't navigate by cow. Well, eventually we got ourselves a foghorn that was run by hand. You had to pull the lever back and forth. One time, I remember one winter, it was snowing and hailing quite badly, and my dad had the flu. Me and my sister took turns out there, pumping and guiding the boats through. I still remember feeling really proud when the boats gave me a couple of extra toots on their whistle when they got through, just to say, thank you.
Fog's blowing away quite nicely now. Not like those fogs on the Grand Banks back east. There you gotta watch out, not just for rocks, but for icebergs, too.
Icebergs?
Mm-hmm. Well, if it's a dark, foggy night, you can't see a thing. We passed one iceberg one night. I'll never forget it. I'd just gone off watch. It was dark as a dungeon, and I went below. I just got nicely settled, and the first thing I heard was the other fellow. Hard to port, hard to starboard, he shouted. Hard to starboard, iceberg! Well, of course, I dashed up my underwear and socks back up to the deck. It was pitch black. You couldn't see a thing. And then I saw it. A couple of feet off the side of the boat, a big, black, huge wall of ice, the size of a floating island. I could have reached out and touched it. It was so close. You know, my grandfather used to tell me about that stuff, too. He was a whalerman. I'll tell you about the whaling ships. The whaling ships would be out 6 months a year, 2 years, whatever it took to fill the ship with the whale oil. Now, that was a hard life. Up into the Arctic, down to the Antarctic. Wherever the whales go, you'd go. And soon as a lookout sights the whale spouting, he hollers,
"There she blows!"
Now, how did you know that? Yes, he'd say that. And he'd shout, "2 points to the windward!" That means a little bit off in front of the ship and on the side that the wind was blowing.
And so you'd all get down into the dories and get the harpoons ready.
How did you know that?
It's all in the song, George.
In 1824, on March the 18th day, we hoisted our colors to the top of the mast, and for Greenland bore away, brave boys, and for Greenland bore away. Now the lookout up on the mainmast stood, and a spyglass in his hand. "There's a whale, there's a whale, there's a whale fish," he cried, "and she blows at every span, brave boys, and she blows at every span." Now the captain stood on the quarter deck, and the ice was in his eye. "Overhaul, overhaul, let your davit tackle fall, and put all your boats to sea, brave boys, and put all your boats to sea." Now the boats got down, and the men on board, and the whale was called in view. Resolved, resolved, was each whaler mad and bold, for to steer where the whale fish blew, brave boys, for to steer where the whale fish blew. Now the harpoons struck, and the lines played out, but she's given such a flourish with her tail, she's capsized our boat, and we lost 5 men, and we did not catch that whale, brave boys, no, we did not catch that whale. Now the losing of those 5 jolly tars would have grieved the captain sore, but the losing of that sperm whale fish, now it grieved him 10 times more, brave boys, now it grieved him 10 times more. Fishes blow, and the daylight seldom seen, brave boys, and the daylight seldom seen.
Old George makes it sound as though every trip you make is adventurous and exciting. Don't you believe it? It's mostly hanging around and waiting.
What do you fish for, Judy?
Salmon. Sockeye salmon. We catch them with nets. You see this big drum down here at the back of the boat? Oh, that's what winches the gill net up. The salmon swim into the net and get their heads through, but their bodies are too fat to get through. So they try to back up, but their gills get caught in the net. We used to go up to Rivers Inlet.
Yes, and that's a good place for salmon, just north of Vancouver Island.
We'd set our nets. You got boys holding up the net in the water. You've got your nets all strung out peacefully, and you're all ready to relax and wait for the fish when some greenhorn stupid farmer comes plowing right into them and gets all snarled up with his propeller and ruins your whole day's work.
Well, with all these problems, there must be something that keeps you out on the water.
You're waiting for the big one. The big catch of beautiful, fat sockeye. when the price is right.
Oh, hark to the song of the sockeye, like a siren's call of old. When it gets in your blood, you can't shake it. It's the same as the fever for gold. There's a hole in the BC coastline, rivers, inlets, the place I mean. And it's there you will find the old-timer, as well as the fellow who's green. Now the boats head for there like the sockeye, and some are a joy to the eye, while others are simply disasters that ought to be left high and dry. Now they go to the different canneries, but before they can make one haul, well, it's $300 for net grub and gas, which they hope to pay off before fall. Then it's off to the head of the inlet at 6 o'clock Sunday night. But when morning comes and you've got about three, the prospects don't look very bright. Well, of course, there is always an alibi to account for a very poor run. Ah, the weather is wrong, the moon's not full, or the big tides will help the fish come. You're starting to doze, and you think you got a good night set. An engine will roar, and you look out the door as some farmer tows into your net. Well, some of us think of the future, whilst others have things to forget. But most of us sit here and dream of a school of sockeye hitting the net. Then when the season is over and you figure out what you have made, you were better off working for wages, no matter how low you were paid. For the comforts of home are worth something, so take it from me, my friend. Oh, frying pan grub and no headroom will ruin your health in the end. So hark to the song of the sockeye, like a siren's call of old. When it gets in your blood, you can't shake it. It's the same as the fever for gold.
Same as the fever for gold. That's right. That's it. Isn't it, George?
Yeah. I can't shake it. No, my grandpa couldn't, nor my dad. And I suppose my boy's that way, too.
Boy, you sure don't think of all that stuff when you open a can of salmon.
Well, I know all about cans of salmon. I grew up in the Fraser River Delta. 17 canneries down there at one time, all going full blast. And the smell. When I was a kid, all the insides of the fish, the head and the tail, were just dumped right under the cannery. There was this thick layer of rotting fish parts all along the shore. The stink was something terrible.
Enough to make you feel real sick, which is what John's looking like right now.
This boat's been going up and down for an hour.
Well, you got to expect that in a small boat. Shh. Listen, listen. Here's the weather forecast.
Marine forecast, small craft advisory for northwesterly winds 15 to 30 knots through Wednesday.
Small craft. That's us. They don't come much smaller than us. You'd be amazed at how fast a storm can come up here. I bet it's getting rough up north, too. My boy's up there, a halibut boat, up by the Queen Charlotte's.
That reminds me of another song. Once I start singing, I'll fit a lot better. This one is from about 50 years ago, and it's all about the halibut fishery when it was all done by sail. They didn't have radios in their boats to tell them when a storm was coming, but that didn't scare them.
Oh, some may sit in their swivel chairs midst the city's rush and rumor, and fret o'er the cares of the world affairs and the woes of the poor consumer. But I don't envy such gilded ease. Just give me the salt-soaked ocean breeze, the lift and surge of the white-capped seas, and the deck of a halibut schooner. I want no fuss with the pale-faced cuss, the clerk or piano tuner, who spend their lives in those stifling hives in the struggle for more mazuma. But gimme the windswept ocean space where the flat ones flop in the Dory's ways, and the salt's got whips in your upturned face as you pull for the side of the schooner. Yes, gimme a packet that's sound and tight, and a skipper with guts to boomer, up under the heel of the northern lights where the grey seas strive to doomer, through the grinding ice where the ground lines freeze, through the howling gales and the pounding seas. For it's into such tranquil spots as these you must drive with a halibut schooner. We earn what we get, you may later that, though we sometimes pull a boner. For the weather that's brewed off Yakutat, it can change like a woman's humor. When the queer thing flies to the schooner's truck, we slash our gear and damn our luck. For we've time for naught but to cut and duck for safety aboard the schooner. And then, when our schooner is safe in port, and we land in a boisterous humor, we thank the gods that our stay is short, and we wish we were leaving sooner. We're rough and we're coarse and we're loud, what then? We're the salt of the earth, we're Dory men. And tomorrow night we'll be off again to the banks in a halibut schooner. To the banks in a halibut schooner.
Coming into the harbor now. You see the navigation light there in the channel?
And there's our car, right where we left it. It'll feel funny to ride on a flat road again.
So long and thanks, Judy.
Bye. And thank you, George, for your story.
Oh, my pleasure. And next time you come, we'll have a salmon barbecue for you.
Fishing East and West was written and produced in Vancouver by John Bartlett, Gary Marcuse, and Rika Rupsat. The actors were Lillian Carlson, Joseph Golland, and Janet Wright. Musical accompaniment by Keith Malcolm, Paul Newman, Bob Webb, and Fred Weiss. The lead singers were John Bartlett and Rika Rupsat. Technical production by Hal Beckett and Intmoot Studios. Foghorn, courtesy of Robert E. Swanson, and a special thanks to the Oral History Archives of British Columbia. Thanks for listening.